Life Audio.
Hey friends, we know that just like us, you want to find every way that you can to love your child, know your child's heart, and raise your son or daughter to know the love of God as they grow. You will find so much help to do that over at the Christian Parent Crazy World podcast, hosted by Catherine Seegers. We were so touched by one episode in particular, episode 37, that gave us 7 ways to bless your child with your words. Catherine reminded us of how our words can speak life over our children to grow their confidence, grow their character, and their faith. Don't miss the end of this episode that holds a special blessing that you can speak over and share with your child. You can find Christian Parent Crazy World by searching for the show in your favorite podcast app or on lifeaudio.com. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Rob Tigan.
And I'm Joanna Tigan. Rob and I have been married over 30 years and share an addiction to coffee, bookstores, and Christmas music.
We often debate how many dogs are enough and who should win The Voice every season.
We're a neat freak married to a not-so-neat freak, an explorer to a homebody, and an introvert to a people person.
But we do agree that our vows are for always, children are a gift, and prayer is powerful.
Our hope through this podcast is that we can walk with you in caring for the soul of your family. Thanks for being here.
Hi, friends. Joanne and I podcast today from a half-empty house. Half of our stuff is over at our new address since we're in the middle of moving. Joanna has also started a new college class. We've got a new ministries launching at our church. Our son's adjusting to a new school year. And lately, any sense of routine and organization is definitely out the window. And honestly, it's been pretty stressful. When we lose our routines and our rhythms as a couple and a family, life feels a whole lot harder.
That is for sure. So I have to say, this is the perfect timing to share a conversation with today's guests, Chris and Jenny Graby. Chris and Jenny are the hosts of the Rhythm of Us podcast, and they have authored an amazing book for couples by the same name. They are lifelong learners who are passionate to discover the core rhythms of thriving relationships with God and each other. Thank you so much, Chris and Jenny, for joining us today.
Oh, we're so honored. Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Let's do it.
Yeah. So Chris and Jenny, I've loved reading through your book, checking out your podcast, and learning more about your life together. So can you catch us up a little bit on your story and how the two of you met and discovered you were the one for each other?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
long time ago.
Feels a long time ago. Yeah. How long? 18 years.
We've been married 18 years.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Yeah. 19 years ago.
Yeah. I was quick. I was like, look, I gotta date this girl. I gotta get her married. I gotta get a ring. Like I knew I was out punting my coverage for sure. So, it's funny. Like, we wrote this book and we have talked to a lot of people about it, but a lot of times we don't get kind of asked the question of like how we met and what's the story there. And so long story short, I grew up in Indiana. She grew up in Texas. I came to Middle Tennessee, Nashville to find a beautiful blonde from Texas. I found one.
Smart man.
And we met. God had kind of radically changed both of our lives, really impacted us at the age of 20, just a few months before we met. And so we literally were at a young adults gathering in downtown Nashville in the early 2000s. And wouldn't you know it, the old turn around and greet your neighbor. And there she was right behind me. And I proposed right there. And it got a little awkward. The pastors weren't happy with me, but I learned. I was trying to grow. I was new to the field. So. But yeah, I mean, so we built a friendship and decided pretty quickly after that God was doing something special and we wanted to be a part of what he was doing. And so we signed up to date, got engaged, and then we started having babies. And
been we got married first and then we started having babies.
That's okay. Yeah, that happened.
I should probably mention
the marriage. Right. So clarity there. And then, yeah, we've just been on a big lifelong adventure with 5 kids now. We live in Nashville again and life is good.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, from what I know of you, you both came into your marriage with a pretty specific vision of what you wanted and what you didn't want your relationship to look like. And we would love to have you tell us just a little bit about the mentors or the influences that shaped your hopes for your marriage way back then.
Sure. Yeah, we talk about kind of our growing up years in the book. And, you know, I grew up in a wonderful Christian family with two parents who stayed married, who are still married and loved each other. But they would be the first to tell you that their biggest struggle was their marriage, for sure. You know, they have their own story, but basically they just had a rough time. And so I did not grow up seeing a marriage that I wanted to emulate. But I was kind of that kid that was obsessively observing the people around me. Mm-hmm. So everywhere I went, for some reason, anytime I saw a relationship that looked like somehow they were in love, somehow they figured something out after being married for decades, it just caused me, even at an early age, to start taking notes. I somehow knew deep down that if I wanted a marriage that was different than the one that I saw, I needed to start paying careful attention. And so that was just a gift that the Lord gave me. And that's exactly what I started doing. And he placed really incredible couples in my life, just around me to learn from and to take those notes from and start, you know, just observing what it is that they were doing that set them apart from what I was seeing. So I definitely entered into marriage with a long list of things that I had observed of healthy couples. And that just grew over time. Even after we got married, just God kept putting incredible mentor couples in our life. And I just think that has taught us so much. And it's really carried us through the last 18 years.
Yeah, I mean, our stories are very opposite. You know, I saw a lot of divorce as a young child. By the time I left high school, I had four dads and three moms through divorce. And so I kind of saw the opposite of what I wanted. And so I just said, okay, I know what I'm not going to do. And so it was the goodness and grace of God is that like, one, I've married this beautiful woman right here because she's been such a patient saint and growing with me and helping me understand some of those beautiful things she saw and us working together as a team. And then ultimately sitting under the feet and just kind of learn from those wise counselors who had the 10, 20, 30, 40 years of marriage, successful marriage, not just because you can get married, you can be married, you can grit it out and do it for 40 years.
More
50
than surviving.
Years. Yeah. You're not just, but they were thriving. Yeah. Right. And so that for us was like, okay, this is, we know what we don't want and we see on the horizon and kind of right in front of our face what we do want. So Lord, like we're going to plant these seeds and try and water them, you know, through his power, through his spirit, through our hard work and hopefully produce a harvest that we are proud of and that God's proud of. And ultimately here we are 18 years later. I'm not saying we're perfect, but it's been a pretty amazing ride.
I love that. I always thought that those kind of couples that you're talking about that are thriving after decades, I don't even know if they realize the ministry they have just walking around and doing life Definitely. With each other. I think that that's a really neat call to anybody listening who has been married in a while and they have been actively pursuing each other for a long time. Like that's making an impact. That's huge.
Yeah, I think
that's so true.
It's one of those things like you just look up and you go like everyone listening probably has that couple or two that they go, man.
Yeah.
When you're saying like, oh, that couple that's just wildly in love after 30 or 40 years and it keeps growing. Mm-hmm. Everyone could think of that person and I think we all hope to desire that would be us, that those around us, not that like it's like, oh man, you guys are great and you get pats on the back, but that God could use us, use our marriage first and foremost for our children, right? I mean, you got to look at it, it's like, yeah, it's great if the neighbors look over or someone in your small group, your church goes, man, I just love what you guys have. Because at the end of the day, you don't really know what's happening behind the doors, but your kids do, and they see it. And so that is the ultimate fruit of what's happening there. So it starts there. And if you can start there and set the tone there and ultimately influence them, then that's it. Congratulations. You've done it. You know, but if for some reason there's a residual effect and you get to recognize that God's given you something special, you both found freedom in him and in life, and you've stumbled into this idea of being humble and serving each other, doing this thing well together, then that's a special place. And then if you are there, just recognize that there's almost a responsibility to say, how can I impart what God's taught us to those around us who are striving and looking for a thriving marriage and what that looks like?
Mm. Yeah, I love that. Thank you. Well, in your writing and your podcasting, you share how the key to a thriving marriage or your family or your relationship with God comes down to these life rhythms that we practice. Can you explain what a life rhythm is for us?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm so glad you asked that, because I'm kind of obsessed with this concept of crafting a rhythm of life or a rule of life. But I do find that anytime I talk about this with people, either they get really excited and they're like me, or their eyes glaze over completely and I completely lose them.
Like me.
When I first introduced them to this concept.
That's nice, honey. Good for you.
So I will try and keep our listeners' attention right now, but stick with me if you're new to this concept. It's not as complicated as it sounds. Basically, crafting a rhythm of life or a rule of life, it essentially involves just thinking of envisioning the person or the couple that you want to become in the future, the couple that God has called you to be, the person that God's called you to be, and then crafting a set of habits and rhythms that will take you there. So it's very simple. So you look at your life and you take an inventory of your habits and the things that fill your life. And then you ask yourself, are these habits going to help me become that person that I feel called to become, or the couple that I feel that we feel called to become in the future?
Yes. And, you know, I mentioned too, and how we're kind of in a season of feeling like our life was picked up and shaked up and put back down. And we're trying to figure out how to put the pieces together with all this moving and just all this transition. So for a couple like us who is kind of experiencing a lot of change and their rhythms of life have been thrown off, why are these rhythms so important?
Yeah, I mean, well, the whole point of this is that whether we realize it or not, we already have a rhythm of life. We already have a rhythm of us. It's what we say in the book. And so we're going somewhere. Our habits that fill our week and our life, they're taking us somewhere. They're shaping us to become someone, some couple. So we already have one. So taking the time to look at that and really shift and change where we need to shift and change is going to determine the couple that we become in the future. So it's really important to just take that time. And I totally understand what you're saying. You know, if you're going through a season of change, it can be difficult. But taking that time to really examine, okay, what are the habits that we're choosing to fill our life with? And if some of them are taking us somewhere that we don't want to go, how do we shift and change to line up with the person that we feel called to become, to the couple we feel called to be?
Yeah, I also think, too, this idea, and this is kind of some of the feedback we've heard from folks, is it's like it's a verbiage, a vernacular, a framework that is pretty simple, that in whatever season you're in, you can look to your spouse and say, hey, are we in rhythm or out of rhythm?
Yeah.
And people go like, and you go like, we're out of rhythm. Okay. Well, what is out of rhythm?
Yeah, which
and
area?
In the midst of the chaos, you can go, well, it's probably this, this, and this. And it's like, oh, okay, great. So the thing that we try to emphasize in this is that the beauty is that God gave us each other, and we're not across the table from each other pointing fingers. Well, we're out of rhythm because you, and you're pointing a finger. It's more along the lines, you come together on the same side of the table, look to the middle of the table and say, wow, are we in rhythm or out of rhythm? And it looks like we're out of rhythm. Okay, it looks like we're out of rhythm here. Well, how do we get there?
Yeah.
And how do we together fix it?
Yeah.
And there's no you or finger pointing. It's we're collectively going to take, we're both in this together. We're both bringing in our stuff. You know, me sometimes more than her, vice versa. But there's a grace there to know like, hey, they're in a stressful time at work, or we're moving, or the kids have a school thing, whatever it is, like, there's going to be stress there. But if you've been together long enough, like for us, for 18 years, like, I know her rhythms. Like, I know it's like, okay, right now we're writing this book. There's some deadlines on, like, this is, there's a, I need to step up and be patient and have some grace and be able to just have this conversation. So it's a framework that I think really helps people easily identify kind of that high level thing, like, okay, we're out of rhythm over here. There's some grace because this is happening and that's happening, but how do we fix it? How do we fix it? Not how do you fix it, but how do we fix it? And I think that's the thing that people are really, really enjoying about this message.
Yeah, I appreciate that because I think that's pretty empowering in a lot of ways, because I think when we do feel out of rhythm and when we do get out of rhythm and life gets chaotic, we tend to get stressed because of all the things we can't control. And so that's where our communication breaks down. But what you're saying is to be intentional, even in saying, okay, we're clearly stressed here. We're clearly out of our rhythms. What's working, what's not working, so that you can change ourselves, so to speak. You know, I can't change Joanna. She probably can't change me, but together we can look at it and see how we can support each other better and create the move back towards the healthy rhythms, I guess. So I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, one thing that we have in common with you two is that we're both the parents of 5 kids.
And
I know. Go 5 kids.
Lord Jesus. I mean, yay, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then they grow up and they get married and then they have their own kids. And just the growth is super, super fun. But hey, even if you're the parent of just one child, you know how parenting is going to fill up your life real full, right? So for you two, how did the rhythms for your marriage change as your family was growing?
That's a good question.
Yeah, one of the things we talk about in the book is kind of these different types of rhythms. And one of them we talk about is like seasonal, right? And they can become a rhythm or they could become a rut. Right. So, you know, there's these different ruts that can happen in your life. And one of those we talk about is seasonal, that like things that might have worked when we were young and spry and had no kids. And it was like, yeah, cool. go play basketball. Go golf for the day. You know, it's like, I can't imagine if I woke up on Saturday morning and not anything wrong with golf, but if I was like, hey, I'm going to be gone for 6 hours or 5 hours. See you later. She's like, that rhythm ain't going to work for very much longer here. Cause they got this kid, this is the weekend, you know, all those things. And so you just have to acknowledge, like, what does the season hold and where can I grow and shift? And at the end of the day, you know, if we're trying to be like Christ, which that is ultimately the goal in our lives, you know, he laid down his life for the church, for us, for our salvation and our connection to him and the Father. So like the more we grow and mature, we should be doing that in our life. And it's not like it's like, fine, I'll just sacrifice again. It's more of like, what do I get to do? Because I've been blessed not only now with a spouse, but with a child, 1, 2, 5, however many. I need to take that responsibility seriously and need to follow just as much as love being with them as maybe I did watching an IU basketball game or going, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, because this is so much more important. But, you know, it takes time. It's a transition. It's conversations. It's self-awareness. And ultimately, just being able to be on the same page and have those talks.
Yeah, I think a couple practical examples for us in our life, like Chris mentioned, you know, when you first get married, you have all the time in the world. If you don't have kids, you get all this time together. So, you know, going out on a girls' trip for the weekend or playing golf all day is fine. But as we have grown and shifted and changed and added kid upon kid upon kid in our life, five kids later, in this season, Saturdays are like sacred for us. You know this, you know, Saturday where everybody's home is just so sacred. And we want to maximize that time that we get together. So for Chris to like leave all day and go play golf or play a sport is just not something that we choose in this season. It was fine when we were first married, but that's not a rhythm we want now because we value that time. It may be later when our kids are all gone, we can incorporate that again. But now we get to choose that. You know, that's an example of one of those rhythms. I think another one that comes to mind for me is that as we started adding kids and changing as a family culture, because I stay home with the kids all week, and I always have, it's a choice that we made early on in our marriage. By the time Thursday rolls around, if you're a mom at home, you know this, and you're giving of yourself, you're pouring out yourself every single day. By Thursday, we started to recognize that my eyes were glazing over. I was really tired and needing some time to refill my tank. And one of the ways that Chris served me in that time was to recognize that and say, hey, why don't you take a couple hours on Friday? He was a pastor for a long time, so we were able to do this. He was home on Friday, so I got to go out into the world, not pushing a stroller, not making a snack. Nobody was saying mom, you know, just for a couple hours, and go find some trees, walk through a trail, or get a cup of coffee at a coffee shop and just have uninterrupted thought time. And I am telling you, I came back. We still do this on Fridays, most Fridays. I come back a better person, and I come back ready to be the mom that I want to be and the wife I want to be, because I've taken that time to refill my tank. But it came through Chris observing, okay, by Thursday, you need a break. And so we're going to make this happen for you, because it's going to benefit all of us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get a text like halfway through the day, I love you guys. You're the best. You guys are great. And so this is a little pro tip for all the guys that are out there. Listen, don't go up to her and say, you look rough, your eyes are glazed over. You should be a little bit more strategic about it, but you'll be amazed at the credits you can put in your relational bank with your bride if you make a decision like this.
Yeah, where were you 15 years ago when I made those mistakes?
It's never too late, Rob. It's never too late.
Awesome. Thank you. I knew our rhythms had changed once we had kids, and like a date night to Costco was like heaven. Yes. You know, it's like, wow.
Last night was a meet the teacher night, and we were like, our son was going to watch our kids. And the last second we were like, let's ditch teacher night and go hang out. And we know all the teachers. Yeah. They're fine. Like, we'll get the reports whenever. I was like, we're going to spend some us time.
So that's right.
That's good.
But I'm a rule breaker. So
you got to take those moments when they come.
Yeah. Certain rhythms you just don't need. We don't need teacher nights necessarily all the time.
Yes.
Amen.
I mean, God bless the teachers.
We need a date.
We need a date.
Yeah, I got it. So, I think a lot of us, as if we wrote down a list of things and dangers and threats to our marriage, we'd probably list things like pornography and infidelity and financial problems, controlling in-laws, those kind of things. But you actually say busyness might be just the most dangerous sin of all, because it doesn't really feel like one. And then you go on to say, busyness, hurry, and distraction have the greatest potential to steal the most joy from our lives. So, Chris and Jenny, how have you kept busyness from damaging your marriage and your family life?
Yeah, besides ditching teacher night.
That's right. That's such a great question. And that chapter in the book is one of my favorites. It's so personal to both of us. But, you know, I think we can all look back at our relationships, I'm imagining. And if you're like us, you probably have a handful where hurry was really the death of the relationship. Because my favorite quote about this is from John Ortberg. He says, hurry kills love because love takes time. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that quote, it stops me in my tracks. One, because I can think of the relationships that I had personally growing up where I can totally look back and see that hurry was the killer of the love in that relationship. Because he's right. If we are wanting to grow in relationship with somebody, but we cannot slow down long enough to be present with them, we will not grow in that relationship. It won't go anywhere. And what I communicate to my child or to my spouse, when I slow down long enough to be present with them and to enjoy them, is simply that. I am communicating to them, I enjoy you. You are valuable to me. You are worth something to me. You're worth enough to me to put down whatever it is that's vying for my attention right now. All I want, all I need right here in this moment is to enjoy you. And that right there builds so much equity in their bank. And that is where the relationship actually grows. When we slow down long enough to say yes to a glass of wine on the porch with our spouse, or to ditching teacher night and going and watching the sunset together, or to, you know, making that pretend batch of cookies with our kids, whatever it is, those invitations from our spouse, from our kids, from anyone we're in relationship with to slow down and say yes to them, that is where the relationship is built.
I think you nailed it. I'm not gonna just drop the mic.
Yeah, nice. I love that. We've been saying that that's one of the best gifts of grandparenting, actually. We watch our baby grandson one day a week, and it's smack in the middle of the work week, you guys. And it is a forced stop, right? Because he's tiny. He needs all of you all day. And it doesn't feel like an interruption to our to-do list. It's like, oh, what a gift we get to stop and breathe and just soak him in. And we didn't even know we needed it, you know?
Yeah,
but that's been a really neat blessing.
Yeah, I'll be up working in my office and Joanna will call me because she needs help with something. And I'm like, oh, and then I come down and I see that smile and I'm like, okay, this is fine. This is good. I need this as much as.
Absolutely. Isn't it remarkable how, you know, we talk about, you know, this rhythm of slowing. Yes, it speaks to that person that we're slowing down to say yes to. It does a lot for our relationship, but it also, like you just said, it blesses us back. You know, often at the end of the day, we always ask our kids, like, what was your high of the day? What was your low of the day at dinner time? And mine always, they're the moments that I stopped and said yes to somebody. That's always my high of the day. It's never like, you know, folding the laundry or whatever task that I'm trying to get done that day. I'm always glad I stopped and said yes to the relationship.
For sure.
Yeah, one of the things that's nice about, and you guys probably experience this with five kids, is we have just real life perspective, right? We have a 17-year-old that's like, all right, see you guys, bye. You're like, but did you want to hang out? No, okay. All right, you don't want to talk? Okay, cool. Love you. Love you. Can you say love you? Okay. You'll come back. And then you have a 5-year-old like, hey, daddy, could you color with me? Can we play pretend? You're just like, yes, I can. So, you know, maybe in the early days of striving and trying to prove whatever to whoever in business and life, you know, we have this beautiful gift, you know, our older ones are gracious enough to know and be, you know, have some grace for us, or especially me who was trying to go conquer the world at that point. But now I've got this 5-year-old as well that gets my attention, sees it. And one of the other things for us is, I think we just decided not to get pushed around by like culture and what's happening. So it's like, no, I don't think we're going to do 12 soccer games on Saturday. That's just not going to be our thing.
Yeah, we made that choice too. And you're like, are we weird? Because everybody's out there.
Well, it's just like, I mean, I look and go like, are you going to the major league for soccer? No, I don't think so. Okay, great. We're gonna put this in its proper place, and we're gonna just cultivate and choose and try and be intentional, and ultimately not really care what other people think. Because I think a lot of times busyness comes down to trying winning approval of whoever, fill in the blank, bosses, parents, neighbors, small group, whoever, the expectations, because everyone's going to kind of put and want a piece of us. You just have to determine to go, okay, I'm going to say yes to this. And maybe we have a busy season, but we have to be real intentional to kind of constantly be taking the polls to go, are we too busy? And you know when you're too busy, but you oftentimes we don't want to have that honest conversation with ourselves or our spouse to go, okay, what are we going to do to stop this and recalibrate? Because you can do it. Shocker. You actually control your life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that can be even more challenging sometimes if you're in church and Christian circles, because a lot of things, you know, Joanna and I are always praying that through, because a lot of things that are vying for your attention are really good things. They're important things. But you can't say yes to every good and important thing either, you know, because everything you say yes to, you say no to something else. And oftentimes we sacrifice a lot of the good, you know, our marriage and our kids for a lot of good things, you know?
Yes.
Well, Rob and I have been married 30 years, so we've had a lot of time. Work. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But that is a lot of time where you can create those rhythms.
What are you saying? That is a lot.
Why I'm saying that is because it was my birthday yesterday. I'm feeling a little old. So I'm like, oh, I've been here a really long time.
That's why.
Like
it was
no.
But okay. I love you too.
I love you so much. That's a long time to cultivate rhythms, but it is also a lot of time where you could dig some real deep ruts in our marriage, right? And we hear this a lot, just how painful it can be for couples who feel stuck in a rut and they just can't break out of them. And, you know, one of the ruts that you talk about in your book that really was poignant to me was the one of holding contempt for your spouse, where you can only focus on their negative qualities or the behaviors that drive you crazy. That one really jumped off the page at me. So what advice would you give a couple who has fallen into that rut of holding contempt for each other?
I think that contempt, you know, they say, although marriage experts say, is kind of the big number one killer of marriage, right? Once you get to that level of contempt. And so I know that it's so hard to break out of if you've gotten to that place of really not being able to see any positive qualities at all in your spouse. And you're just kind of in this place of not enjoying one another. There are several rhythms we talk about in the book that can kind of get you back on the right cycle. And again, you know, the key to all of these habits and these rhythms really transforming your marriage is the consistency of them, you know, right? It's great to speak life one time over my spouse, but if I'm looking for change, if I'm looking to get out of that rut of contempt, then the power is going to come in the consistency of practicing this rhythm on a regular basis, because there's been a consistency of the opposite of this rhythm that has gotten us into this rut of contempt, right? So it's going to take time to get on the other side of it. So one, I would just encourage anyone listening who's looking to get out of this rut to give it time and know that change is coming, but just give yourself grace to take one step at a time. And then maybe when you fall down, get back up and just keep going. I think what's encouraging about that we've heard people that read the book have reached out and said, these rhythms feel like handles. It feels like somebody has given me 5 handles that can pull me out of this kind of pit that I'm finding myself in, feeling stuck in my marriage. And now I have 5 handles that can pull me in a different direction. So I would encourage everyone, like, just pick a rhythm and start working on it. One of the rhythms that we encourage people to start with is the rhythm of speaking life. And this sounds really simple, but I am telling you, this can absolutely change the culture of your marriage. If you look at the words that you are speaking out loud to your spouse, and examine, are they speaking life? Am I speaking life over them, or am I constantly speaking death? And it can be something that you don't even realize you're doing. This can be one of the things we talk about in the book is in my head habits versus reality habits. There are things we think that we do, but sometimes they live only in our heads if we actually look at the reality of our life together. And this can be one of those for sure. So I would just encourage everyone, take an inventory of the words that you are speaking over your spouse. When you walk by and see them doing something good, just say it out loud. Even if it's as small as they're playing with the kids, you can say, hey, you're a great dad. Thank you so much for loving on our kids the way you do. I'm so grateful for that. Or if they're doing the dishes, you can say, wow, thank you so much for doing that. I don't like doing dishes. Thank you for doing that. Just the simple act of speaking out loud the positive things you see in your spouse, one, it blesses them, but it also starts to, over time, train your eyes to begin to see the good and speak it out loud. There's always something good you can find, even if it's so small. Start there and speak it over time regularly, and you will watch your spouse hold their head higher. You'll start to watch them want to become the good things that you are noticing consistently in them.
Yeah, that's so good. I think, you know, like you said, watch what you say. I think ultimately you have to, it all starts with what you're thinking as well. You know, if you're sitting in this spot, and I think the way that it's really helpful for me, if I'm in a spot and I'm constantly blaming her, I have to start looking at myself. Like, it has to start here, right? I think if I understand that if I somehow am holding myself at a higher position than my spouse, what am I doing? Like, I'm never going to be in that spot. Like, well, I'm better because I do this, this, and this, and she doesn't do this, this, and this. Well, I think if we all just pull back just a little bit more and look at, like, look, Jesus came and died on a cross for all of us because I'm broken, I'm messed up, I needed a savior, I need a savior every single day. And if I can understand the grace that the Father gives me day in, day out, and I can posture my heart in a way that I've got that same grace and approach for my spouse and understand how much I've been forgiven, well, I should be able to put myself in a spot to go, who am I? Who am I to put myself in this holy hill that I'm better than her? But maybe, maybe, just maybe, I could posture myself like Christ and I can start operating these rhythms. I can serve them by telling her how beautiful she is, how amazing she is with our kids, like so thankful for the gifts and talents she has. I can do things with my hands and work around the house to relieve some time for her so she can be freed up. You know, we could go on adventures together. I could remember who she was when we first got married. And there's just so much that you can do, but it all starts in your head and your heart. And ultimately, having an honest conversation with yourself and an honest conversation with God. And then maybe you want to see them doing something before you, but it's not. That's not it. The goal is you make the first step and you start to serve and you start to do the rhythms. And you'll be surprised at how fast things can change in your life and in your marriage.
So good. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I guess you've touched on a lot of this, but I'm going to ask and see if you have any more to add, because I think what I really appreciated as I've read through your book and listened to your podcast is you don't separate your relationship with God from your relationship with each other. They go hand in hand. So how does your faith in Jesus make a difference in your marriage?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And we kind of touched on this before we jumped into our conversation today, but you know, something we experienced pretty early on in our marriage was that the closer that we moved towards God, the closer we naturally moved towards each other. It was just the way that it worked. And the opposite was true as well. The farther that we moved away from the Lord, the more tension there was in our marriage. I mean, we could just see that clear connection mm-hmm. for both of us. So it was very common, especially in the early years of our marriage, to be like, you need to go read your Bible. Like, you need to pray with Jesus. Yeah. That was a common phrase happening. Yeah. Have you had your quiet time today? Yeah. Go to the holy place, whatever. But I think that we joke about that, but it's still true. You know, the closer we move towards God, the closer He brings us towards each other. The healthier I am as an individual, and I'm growing and changing, hopefully to be more and more like Christ, then the more naturally I am going to love my spouse, be patient with my spouse. The fruit of the Spirit is going to be flowing through me, and it's going to be a lot easier to be a better wife, to love my husband and my kids well, when I'm moving closer to Jesus.
Yeah, I think for us, you know, thankfully, we just know that He's number one, right? Like, in each one of our lives, like, we serve Him, our lives are His. Everything, we owe everything, our salvation, our freedom, our this, the joy that we have in our life only comes through Christ. Mm-hmm. And then if we have that place, then I'm not like, please, Jenny, give me this thing that I need you to do. And she's like, look, bro, like, I ain't got it today, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm like, it's okay. There's grace there. But like, if you understand that, but if you get it flipped, you're like, okay, we'll have a great marriage. And then let's bring in Jesus. Like, that is not going to work.
Right. There's security in my identity in Christ.
For sure.
And I'm not relying on my spouse to meet the needs that God needs to fill.
Yeah.
So we're more whole, and then we can come together and be a blessing towards each other when we're filled up in Him first.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Our oldest two kids are married now. Early into marriage, and our middle daughter is well on her way. Sorry, Chris, this might be your story coming up here. But as their dad, it's a really rewarding thing to see them kind of figure out these rhythms together. And what would you say, or what would be a piece of advice you'd give to younger couples that are just starting out and trying to figure out these rhythms and things like that?
Oh, what a sweet season. Yeah. I'll think of a couple things and then you can add, but I would say first, get other couples in your life that are older than you, that you admire. Ask the Lord to fill your life with those couples, and then reach out to them and ask them questions. Ask if you can have them over for coffee, and just sit at their feet and try and learn all that you can from these couples. That has been such a gift to us throughout our marriage, but certainly in those early days of building that foundation. I mean, we sat at the feet of so many wise couples because we knew we don't know anything. We don't know how to do this well. We are young and we are new, and we need to learn as much as we can from people that clearly know something about how to do this marriage thing well. And it was just such a blessing to learn from other couples. So I would say community is so huge. Get around couples you admire that are older than you and wiser than you. Find couples also around you that are your peers that are trying to do this thing well. Also, I would say that, you know, something we mentioned in the book, if I'm trying to practice these healthy rhythms, but the community that I'm surrounded with is not, it's almost going to be impossible for me to do that. If I'm trying to speak words of life over my spouse, but the women that I hang out with are constantly, you know, complaining and berating their husbands, it's going to be really hard for me to try and speak life about my spouse when I'm constantly surrounded by that. So I would say, watch your community, ask the Lord to fill your life with good people that you can learn from and that you can do life with.
That's good. First thing I would say is you can pick up The Rhythm of Us book. We're fine. Okay. So after that, what I would say is one big one would just be like, hey, be patient, have grace. Just have so much grace. Yeah. Just know that like two becoming one can bring so much cool things in your life. It also is like, hey, it's the first time, again, it's a new level of dying to yourself, right? Yeah. Like, oh, I like it this way, they like it that way. How can we figure out our way? And so I would just say, have a lot of grace and be willing to keep talking. Make sure you have, you know, understand each other. You know, I like to talk for 5 hours. She needs a break before we get into the battle, you know, and so like, and work things out. And so just like understanding, it doesn't mean that she doesn't love me. If she's like, I just need time before we talk. Like, it means that I just got to understand this is how she's wired. And so if you go about the business of having grace and really studying and learning all the ins and outs of your spouse, you'll instead of finding the button to push, you're going to know where you can help kind of relieve that stress and know it's not really about you. We all tend to make it about ourselves, but it's not really about you. Something else is going on, or maybe it is you, but be open and have, open heart, open hands, open mind to realize like, maybe I do need to grow. And no one ever said this to me before because no one's lived this close to me in proximity for my whole life. And so, and then I would say like, one of the biggest ones is one of our rhythms that we talk about is the rhythm of adventure. And I would really challenge young couples to seek adventure like or as best as they can and be open to adventure, because I think you guys know we had a couple of kids early, but we still kind of kept going on adventures, and they were like, we're going to slow down on the adventurous stuff. It's like, So God just kept giving us more kids. So we had to just go, all right, let's, the adventure's got to, but the adventures look differently now for us. But what I would say is go on adventures, and they're going to be scary. They're going to be awesome. There's going to be some uncharted territory, but the more you can walk through uncharted territory, perhaps hard times, things that make you nervous together versus, that was your adventure and I'm over here. If you can walk through together, you learn at a faster clip when stress comes and hard times come, and you're more like locking arms versus your fault, my fault. And so adventure is one of the greatest mm-hmm. tools you could have in your life to really see each other in the fire and go do something that makes you nervous and learn and grow together.
It really bonds you together. Yeah. Really. I mean, those early adventures of saying yes to whatever God was inviting us into, it really helped us rely on each other, you know, moving to a different state where we didn't know anybody and we had little kids and all of it, you know, wasn't easy, but it caused us to really learn how to depend on one another and to be a good team. So yeah, I love that. Say yes to adventures.
Yeah. Yeah. I love hearing that. I've never heard anyone say it that way before. And it's actually really neat in the context of our family life, because our oldest daughter and her husband, they've only been married not even a year and a half. They sold all their stuff, threw some things in storage, and decided to live out of a van for a little bit. And they have literally crossed the country and forth. And it's been really amazing to watch as a parent because, like you're saying, it has grown their relationship in a really unique way. And they've had to find a lot of rhythms in that lifestyle of, you know, how are we even going to get food on our plate in the evening, and the amount of sharing that they've been able to experience. And I'm sure just hour upon hour to be able to just talk with each other and really get to know each other in kind of a unique way. So you're absolutely right. It's been very formative for them already.
That's so cool.
Yeah. For Joanna and I, you know, that to your story, I mean, we got married very young when we were still in college, trying to finish up college. And then a week before our second anniversary, we had our first kid and jumped into that. So that's a new rhythm. And we've always said the rhythm of rest has always been a challenge for us. And that's a new rhythm, the adventure rhythm. And so I think your advice to start that at a young age and not, you know, the old us would have probably, and the serious us would have freaked out when they said they were going to do van life. Wait, get a, you know, you have to get a real job first, you know. But we were all for it, just because I like you said, those are formative, and that relationship is one of the most important ones God gives you. And so to be able to learn how to do life together like that is going to go a lot further than getting the, you know, locking yourself into the right career right at the right moment or whatever. And so I love that.
Yeah, for sure. I would say the one rhythm that we didn't have from day one, but has been cultivated over years, is just consistent prayer with each other. That has been so powerful for us. And I know that that's significant to you too. And we were just really hoping to hear from you how couples can tap into the power of prayer in their own relationship.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that, because that is huge. And, you know, I was just writing down a vision for our family for the year. And that was something I just wrote down, that I want my kids, when they leave our house, to be like, man, mom and dad just prayed over everything, like everything. You know, like that's something that's, I want them to take from our house, that rhythm. And it starts with us, absolutely, like you're saying. So I think it can look different for everyone. I think something that's helped us as a couple to pray together is just having that consistent time where we can do it. Usually it looks like praying at bedtime with us. Before we go to bed, we just say a prayer together. But one thing that is really helpful to do that we talk about in the book is kind of doing like a prayer of examine together as a couple. So looking at your week or your day and then talking through, what were those moments that really stand out to us? What were the things that we see that we can offer up thanks for? What can we learn from today to take in tomorrow? That's a powerful practice to do, obviously, alone, but doing it together is really wonderful as well. So I would encourage people to do that. And it can look different, you know, for you as a couple and your schedule. But most mornings, you'll find us in these two gray chairs talking before the kids wake up, saying a little prayer for the day. So just finding those touch points where you can consistently practice that together as a couple is huge.
Yeah, I think it's also understanding like how each of us are wired, you know, like, you know, it's, are we going to get into deep conversation prayer in the morning because she's not necessarily
awake
morning
yet.
At night when she's like, let's settle in and talk about all the things. I'm like, what'd you say? I am not awake right now. She, remember we all agreed last night? I was like, what do we do?
Yeah.
What did we say? So it's just understanding like each other's, you know, natural like body rhythms and even your type. Like some people make it like, I'm really nervous to pray out loud or whatever it is. Just like work through it together and figure out how it works best for you, because it may work one way for her and for me. And we're like, all right, what does it look like for us? Mm-hmm. And how do we do that together? So just those are fun conversations, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, speaking of prayer, I'm wondering if you guys would be willing to pray for the husbands and wives listening who really want to break free of some of the ruts in their marriage and start building these rhythms that you're talking about together.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Let's do it. Father, thank you that we get this moment right here. Yes. And I just want to say, Father, that for everyone who's listening, husbands, wives, you know, individually or collectively together as a couple, I just pray that you will just give them peace right now, God. Just give them that moment in their life where they just can know that it may seem chaotic, and they may not know what's around the corner, but in this moment, they can know that you're right there with mm-hmm. them, that your presence and your spirit is everything, and that from there, we can recognize, and almost, I feel like dropping off, Father, like this weight that may be on someone's shoulders who's listening right now, thinking, I have to do this, and I have to do that, that they can start with more of like, no, I need Jesus. And if I have Jesus, and they know you, and they love you, and they encounter you, and they feel your embrace, and your arms wrapped around their life, and their heart, and their future, God, that they will know that you, above all else, are most important. But God, you are for marriage, and you're for in such a big way. And so we pray, Father, for every single marriage that's here right now. We pray that your hand will be on them, that you will guide them, God. We pray for freedom in areas that may have been hard for a long time, God, that I pray that they can get in rhythm with you, Father, with your plans. You have great plans for them, for their family, for their future. And I pray, God, that they can hear those, tap into those, write those down on paper and on their hearts, so that they collectively together as a team can come and jump on the same side of the table with their arms locked alongside of you, Father, heading out on the mission that you've called them to. So we speak life, we speak peace, we speak blessing, God, and we just ask for freedom and healing. And we pray for thriving marriages that will be examples and beacons of light for our children that will last generations to come. We thank you, God. We love you. It's in your awesome name, Jesus. You're the best. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you both so much for your insight today. And I know that our friends are going to want to check out your podcast and find a copy of your book, The Rhythm of Us, for themselves. So where is the very best place that they can connect with you online?
Yeah, Ginny likes to live. We live on Instagram, so you can find us there. Barely, but we're there.
We're there sometimes.
You can see it. You know, the podcast is The Rhythm of Us. You can find that wherever. Obviously, the book is out there, Amazon, wherever. We just put together something really fun to help couples kind of discover and understand where they're at in their marriage when it comes to the rhythms. A lot of times people go like, what rhythm is my marriage missing? Well, we've put together a quiz that you can take. It takes about a minute, but it's really cool. Helps you understand. So if you go to marriagequiz.com, real simple. You'll see the quiz there. You can take it, and then you'll find her pretty face, my ugly mug on the other side of it, kind of sharing some thoughts as you discover and kind of unpack what it means to be in rhythm in your marriage. So we'd love to hear from you there.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Chris and Jenny. This has been really encouraging to me today. I needed that after all the crazy we talked about. It's a great reminder. And just thank you for being here today.
Thank you, guys. It was such a blessing to be with you.
Yes. And thank you, friends, for joining us today on the Growing Home Together podcast. We'd love to connect with you over on our website, growinghometogether.com, where you'll find all kinds of resources to help you pray together, get in the Word together, and create quality time with your kids and each other. Be sure to download our free marriage devotional, too, at Growing Home Together. We are caring for the soul of your family.
And we're growing home together with you. Bye.
Bye.